Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, coming alive for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. It's on. It is on. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Teak. One game, one loss.
Yes.
I had Oklahoma.
I did not. Won. I had Rhode Island. I just didn't believe in them. And it's not even an upset because they're the 10th seed and Rhode Island was the 7th seed.
Mm-hmm.
People's back brackets are busted already.
Don't say that.
Trey Young.
Nothing's busted yet unless you had OU going to the Final
That's
Four.
That's true. Well, I'm sure people maybe they did.
You think so? For a bubble
no,
team?
I doubt it.
Well, maybe some Sooner fans, I'm sure.
Yeah, or you had UCLA.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about that? No, you know what happened? I thought I really was out.
Yeah.
Because like an idiot, I picked UCLA to win three games. But when I went, and last night, Kinsley was throwing up. Last night was an adventure in itself. Oh, my God. It was almost like having a newborn again. It was like one of those nights for Jen and I. But I finally had a little chance to see what's going on here. Watch the end of the Syracuse game. And I go on CBSSports.com and I'm like, let me just see how bad this is. I'm expected to get gash. What happens when you pick a play-in team to win? It doesn't register.
Uh-huh.
So I got a reprieve. So I'm like, wait
you
a second.
Got lucky.
Did I not hit save? What's the story?
So what
here?
Did it do? Did it push through St. Bonaventure?
Yes, it did. But then I was able to adjust stealthily.
Oh, because.
And then save it again.
The due date is, or the due time is 12:15.
Boom.
Eastern. You're lucky, man.
I'm so lucky. But karma would have it, I lose the first game. Because that's probably the way it should be.
Of course.
Hey, by the way, obviously, if you have us on radio, on the tube, you're big Tiki and Tierney fans. Want to let you know, listen, you have your bracket. Some of you have money on the games. I mean, the combination of both. As you're cruising around, you guys will hear this throughout the day. Our mid-conversation, obviously, we'll have a natural pause. Teak and I will just rip through what's going on, final games, give you a quick score, get back to the conversation. So
yep.
You'll get your whole, you know, topic presentation as we always do on the show. But also, you will not be in really a need to change the channel. You know, certainly don't need to look at your phone while you're driving. Scores come in, we'll get them to you here on Teak and Teak.
Yes, and Ack will do it as well, even though Ack.
What a clown. Let's get on him now?
Yeah, we have to get on him now. The tournament just started. We spent a week and a half talking about our tournament challenge, which has a great grand prize. So I hope you entered.
Yeah.
You get to host a segment on this show. If you're local, you can come in and sit in my seat and host a segment with us. I'll move over to the guest seat.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it for 2 weeks. Ack didn't even enter a bracket.
Didn't
enter one. And he said he did one, but he probably did it on paper, you know, for himself to stare at on his wall as opposed to joining our bracket.
Right next to his Bo Derek poster.
Exactly.
That's probably still hanging there from 1979, knowing Ack. What a clown. How do you not participate in the contest?
In Ack's defense, every time we're talking about this, he's in another room on the other side of the studio, so he can't actually hear our show. He's got work to do, working for local. What is he doing? Wins over there and everything else. But
mm-hmm.
He still should have known.
Of course.
It's not like
he
doesn't look at social media. And it was all over social media. It was probably more on social media than it was on the airwaves.
Uh-huh.
So shame on you, Ack.
Listen, we expect that from Ack.
Yeah.
Very low expectations.
Yeah, but we also expect
fine,
to be part of the team. We expect him to be a part of our. Yeah, no.
We
pick on him.
He's just not that guy.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
He's off in his own little corner.
He's a loner.
Probably running his own bracket. It's just he can't lose.
He's got his own scam going on somewhere.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, Tiger's not scamming. We'll get to Tiger Woods coming up in a bit. He's dropping in 70-foot bombs. I mean, he's lights out, minus four. Tiger looked great. Tournament's underway. Gary Parrish is a guest. Brady Quinn as well. But let's start with this here. So I think it's interesting where the Bills and A.J. McCarron, we talk so much about quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's at least on the surface, it's a kind of a forced marriage, a shotgun marriage. And I guess I can see why some people position it or perceive it to be that way. The Bills need a quarterback, even though we all know they're going to move up from 12 and get one, or maybe if Lamar Jackson's 12, but they'll draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
The Bills need a quarterback, and McCarron needs a team. So it's a natural fit.
Yeah, of course.
But it still doesn't mean that it can't work out well, and I want to support that, but I want to give you first crack here. I don't think this is a bad thing.
Well, it's not.
It's not a good deal for him.
No, it's a horrible. It's not horrible, but it's a deal, and that's the good thing. And I say it's a deal because let's not forget, going into free agency, there were a few quarterbacks that were out there that seemed viable. It seemed exciting. Kirk Cousins was one. Obviously, Case Keenum was one after the season he had with the Minnesota Vikings. And A.J.
Bridgewater was interesting.
Yeah, of course, even though there's not much to know about Bridgewater, which is interesting because it's probably about the same that we know about A.J. McCarron, which is not much. Even A.J. probably has less known about him than Bridgewater because he played a little bit of a season. So A.J. McCarron was this guy, almost got traded for in the middle of the season by the Browns. It was, man, this guy can be somebody's guy, right? And then very quickly after free agency, Tyrod Taylor gets traded. Case Keenum signs with the Broncos. Cousins with the Vikings. Bradford with the Cardinals. Teddy B, along with Josh McCown, re-signed with the Jets. And there's no teams left. And so A.J. McCarron, who has spent this entire last 4 months trying to get out from under the Cincinnati Bengals. Remember, he filed an arbitration argument against the Bengals so that he could become a restricted free agent so he could be free. He's 27 years old. He's going to be 28 when the season started. He had to get paid. More importantly, he had to be a starter somewhere because if this waits another year and he's 29, he's not going to be a starter.
Unless the market's different
year. But he's nobody's future at 29. You know what
Case
I mean?
Case Keenum's 30.
Yeah, but Case is a little bit different.
Why?
We know Case is a bridge.
Has he played a little more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, that's actually a big part of the answer.
He took his team to the NFC Championship game.
All?
I mean, and he's been in the league. He's been a backup. He started at one point with the Rams early in his
Jackson
career.
Jackson threw him a bone at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the day.
But it was different. AJ has no tape. He has no starting experience. He did play a playoff game, but it was one.
Not
you know, it's just, there's not enough eye in the sky to tell us a little bit about this guy, if you know what I mean. And this feels desperate, and the deal shows that. 2 years, $10 million, which is very light. $8 million of it is guaranteed, which means he either has to prove himself immediately. I mean, get into OTAs and when training camp happens and just wow everybody. Head coach, quarterback coach, coordinator, teammates. Man, this guy is the leader that we all saw when he was at the University of Alabama and playing and winning national champ. This is the guy, right? We need this guy because you know they're drafting a quarterback and you know that he's going to be one of two guys. And if he doesn't acquit himself quickly, he'll just be the bridge to being back up again. And so you feel for him, but it's the nature of the game. It's the nature of the NFL and how it's played in free agency and with the draft so close.
Timing's huge. I can spin this somewhat positively because if he does play well or he flashes enough and then whomever they draft, they give him the football, whether it's game seven, whether it's game 10, whatever, and there's enough on tape that's favorable, the quarterback market, as we know, is so different from year to year.
Of course.
Next year could be, hey, you know, maybe Eli's officially shot. Maybe Bridgewater, God forbid, just simply can't play. He's just not healthy. Maybe Keenum wasn't 1 year wonder. Yeah. Bradford's going to be hurt again. Book that now, so he's not going to play a whole season. So all these things that could happen, maybe next year's a little bit different if I want to spin it positively.
Okay.
We'll see about that. But there's the contractual aspect, and then there's the can this still be a good football move? And I'm going to focus more on the Bills than McCarron.
Gotcha.
Because the Bills, like the five or six other teams we always talk about in perpetual need of a quarterback, you've got to get creative and look under rocks that you ordinarily wouldn't look under to try to fill the void that is has escaped a lot of teams. Now, you know, back in, what was that, week two with Tom Brady, back in 01, when Mo Lewis popped him late in that game, nobody knew what Tom Brady was.
True.
Tom Brady had the worst body of any quarterback at the combine. He looked like a goofy crossing guard trying to do the cone drill. He didn't have an ounce of muscle on his body. He honestly looked like an accountant. I mean, he looked like an accountant who was getting fitted for a $1,000 suit back then and just happened to see him in his underwear.
I hear you.
And it wasn't a pleasant look. So nobody knew that Tom Brady can play until he had to play.
Agree.
Nobody really truly knew. Case Keenum, you bring him up, so did I. Case Keenum was a $2 million insurance policy with a transient start to his career, yep, just in case Bradford got hurt again. Of course, newsflash, he got hurt. What do you know? Case Keenum could ball a little bit. And Carson Wentz was supposed to win the MVP, because he was until he got hurt, and Nick Foles was window dressing.
Right.
Played for five teams.
Almost retired.
Until he suddenly, out of sheer necessity, became relevant. So I know it's easy to say, wow, McCarron got... And listen, that's a bad contract in terms of what he could have gotten financially. The money, relative to the real world, is phenomenal. Relative to quarterbacks, it sucks. He's getting to a point, he's got to start playing games. Right. He's got to play.
There was no other choice.
I agree, but it doesn't mean that it can't work out for the Bills.
Oh, no, I know. I'm not saying that.
Which means, by extension, it could work out for him down the road.
And
I think McCarron could play.
I think he can, too. But, again, I can't say that he's going to be great because I haven't seen it. He didn't throw the ball a ton in college. You know, maybe he threw for 2,000 yards. Maybe he threw for 2,000 yards when he was at Alabama. Because back in those days, they weren't throwing the ball. They were running the ball and bludgeoning you with defense. Right? So he hasn't had to be this NFL-style quarterback. Even though it was more of a pro system, he wasn't asked to throw the ball a ton. So I just haven't seen it. I like him. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. Right? I think he's a good guy. I think he's a nice kid. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. You could be an ass. If you can ball, that's who I want on my team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so that's what a lot of this uncertainty with him, I think, was centered around, right? Because he doesn't have the baggage of some of these other guys, right? He doesn't have the baggage of Case Keenum, which you talked about jumping around. He doesn't have the baggage of Sam Bradford.
Baggage, but just, well, yeah, he's a bullpen, he's a backup.
Well, it's baggage. It's stuff old. People tell you about you. You know what I mean? So Case Keenum had this baggage, 30 years old,
a spot starter. That's been created.
It's a narrative. Same narrative with Sam Bradford. Had a narrative. But they have tape, mm-hmm. right? They have successes that you can point to. AJ doesn't have successes. Mm-hmm. So this was a desperation move, I think, by him and his group. But I think it's a smart move by the Bills because they might luck into something and get a baller. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
And we're not going to know for a while, but at least he's getting a chance to get something on tape and be the man.
All right, there you go. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, there you go. Uh-oh, Gonzaga getting a little tight around the collar. The Zags are up by 3, 57-54. 7 change to go in the second half. Kansas was challenged early. That spread, by the way, went from like 15 to 14. May have gotten off around 13 and a hook there, but Kansas was down early. They're up 46-37 on Penn. First TV timeout, 15 change to go in the second half. We know Tennessee won Rhode Island overtime over Oklahoma. And, you know, and quickly on Trae Young, we're going to be obviously bouncing around a little bit here today. I can't commit to this kid. I'm sorry. You know, I was driving in, so I didn't see the early fouls. I know what he did. I watched the entire second half here, mm-hmm. and he was. But when it was time to take, and you and I were talking about this before the show, meaningful shots that would determine the outcome of the game. He didn't shoot.
No.
He jacked up 135-footer, which was atrocious. I'm sorry. This kid's a top-five pick.
He's
160 pounds.
He's too streaky for me because he's – and look, maybe he grows into a role. And we've had this conversation a few times, BT, about how Lon Kruger has just kind of let him do whatever he feels like needs to be done. I mean, I'm sure there's a system that he's playing into, and it's probably open, not dissimilar to, you know, how D'Antoni runs his system with the Rockets. You know, you play fast, do what you do, be a creator. He's obviously a great assister. He gets his teammates involved. So be open. But also, you got to be accountable to be that way, right? The reason this works for James Harden is because James Harden's accountable. And if you give him an open jump shot, he's not going to down.
He's also 6'7", 235 pounds.
Exactly.
He can just bowl through you with his strong shoulders.
He's scoring.
Yeah.
If you need to score, he's scoring. Yep. Now, in this game, he was streaky. He started out 4-for-4, and I think 3-for-3 from three-point range. And had 10 points, you know, right away, whatever it was, how many points he had right away. And then he went quiet mm-hmm. for a long time. Down the stretch, he started heating up again and ended up, you know, dropping buckets when he needed to. But to BT's point, when he needed to take the shot to keep his team in it or get him a lead, he deferred. That's not him. That's like I was talking to it in the newsroom, and I said, maybe he was told not to shoot. I don't know, because that's not what he usually does. And it seems like he's confused a little bit about what his role is on this team.
A lot of people didn't think they should be in. They get in, benefit of the doubt from the committee, they get bounced immediately.
You're
By
right.
the way, Duke and Iona's underway as well. I missed that before. Duke, he's up 11-5. Tim Clewis runs a nice high. That should be a high-scoring game. Iona, about 40 miles north of New York City, just for a geographical spot if you're not in the area. Plays in the MAC conference, Siena, Marist, my school. Riders in that conference,
yeah.
St.
New
Peter's,
New Rochelle,
New
right?
Rochelle, New York.
New
yeah.
Rochelle, New York.
They have been, what is it, three or four straight years? But obviously you're playing Duke, and Duke is up by six early. Yeah. Coming up next, you want to avoid this.
Make that nine, by the way.
There you go. Ever-changing. You want to avoid this, and you could keep kicking this down the road, my man, as long as you want. And you've been like a... instead of wearing number 21 for the Giants, you should have worn number 3. Because all you do when it comes to Tiger Woods is kick and punt. And today I want a definitive answer out of you. Because what I'm going to do coming up next year on the show is paint an image why we are already in the early stages of the greatest sporting comeback that we have ever seen.
Is that a canvas I see materializing in front of me?
And the paintbrush is in the pocket, brother. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Work, obviously, Tiki and I watching all these games in studio during the breaks. Iona ripped off, what, a 7-0 run there within a deuce. Gonzaga's tied up. Mm. So it's getting a little tight here. Even Kansas, Penn making a move here with about 12 and a half to go. So UPenn is down by 5 to Kansas, the number one seed. All right, inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. By the way, if you just tuned this in and you didn't hear the opening segment or the one of the things that we said, you don't have to change the channel. Every couple of minutes, you'll hear this, you'll hear that. We'll drop in the pertinent scores, the updates, get back to where we were.
Yep.
Want to let you know, trust me, we are as into the brackets as you are, so we're not going to let that just dissipate throughout the day. Tiger Woods.
Okay, go ahead.
Tiger Woods.
Tell me.
Now, not going to waste a lot of time on this round today because you're either a golf fan or you're not.
Yeah.
This is a bigger picture.
6 birdies, 1 double.
Yes, and a 71-foot bomb.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which is starting to show a propensity for those long bombs.
44-footer he had last weekend.
On 17 to get the birdie, and then he came up a couple of rolls short on 18 to do the same thing. And the other thing, at least from a golf point of view, that further emboldens me to take this position. If you watch the show, I've been on Tiger Woods since he played in the Bahamas at his event because of his ball speed and his swing speed, and it was different.
Also, the fact that he's healthy. Structurally healthy. He's not dilly-dallying with, let's try this scope, let's try this little fix here physically. It's solid now.
Yes, but I was assuming health when I saw the metrics on the swing
speed.
But the other thing, like from a golf point of view, and this plagued him early this year, wasn't doing damage on the par fives. 4 par fives today, 4 birdies. So you need to know that. Okay. Now big picture, because the minutia of golf, again, you're either a golf fan or you're not. I believe that we are in the midst of the absolute most epic, greatest comeback in sporting history. I really believe that.
Sporting history?
Well, and it certainly is subjective.
John Riggins retired for a few years and came back and won a Super Bowl, was a Super Bowl MVP. He's like 33 years old or something.
How dare you try to stifle my mojo with John Riggins?
I'm just throwing it out there. It's one.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. I expected a volley back.
But Tiger's still got to get to that level.
We'll get there.
It's just a good comeback.
This certainly is a subjective position. There's no right or wrong. But I do think that these two elements that I'm going to present are not cannot be compromised to have this comeback that I'm about to paint.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one, to have the greatest individual comeback, I think, in sports history, you need to, at the absolute height and apex of your powers, been an undeniable shortlist icon.
Okay.
That's a starting point.
So you had to be on the Mount Rushmore. Almost.
Or they were starting to chisel if you were a little bit too young to put the final dent in there, but they had the utensils in their hands.
Which Tiger was.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, he was already on it. Yeah, him and Jagger and whomever else you want to. Sammy Snead, Bobby Jones, whatever. And then, as those powers were diminished, and for a multitude of reasons, whether it's drugs, whether it's infidelity with Tiger, a combination of everything, the ultimate embarrassment, the crash and burn has to be so unbelievably unique that you get to a point where people have put you in the sporting graveyard. So you go from the man to dead. That's the two starting points. I don't think you could compromise. Everything else, I believe, I can it can be open to interpretation.
So now I'm trying to go back to
That's why John Riggins is not.
I was trying to go back to my John Riggins example, and it doesn't apply.
No.
I think he just got tired of football and left.
I have one that might. I have one that might.
Go ahead.
Magic Johnson. Now, that's a unique, and I certainly put quotes with older, I wouldn't use the word demise, but I'll put quotes around that.
Yeah.
HIV is not the same as popping pills or whatever.
It was such an ignorant era. And I don't mean that ignorant in a bad way, just uninformed about the disease. So, yeah, it was put into his grave. Everybody thought he was going to die. And
actually, that was the literal graveyard.
Yeah.
That was the human graveyard. Agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's people were terrified just to touch him. They thought sweat was going to infect them. So
Karl Malone,
yeah,
very outspoken about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
As a lot of other NBA players were. Now, Josh Hamilton's a name. He didn't get a chance to get to the apex at the beginning, even though he was the first overall pick and basically billed as Mickey Mantle slash whomever, Willie Mays.
He certainly hit the nadir, the bottom.
He's doing heroin at a crack den.
Yeah.
And he was burning himself with cigarettes. He tried every drug in the book, self-admittedly, and he came back and he basically was Mickey Mantle for a couple of years. So I think that's an interesting one. The other one, this is different because just trying to create a thread here of conversations. Tommy John, totally different medical reason. Tommy John, as we know, we all know about Tommy John surgery, but when he tore his ulnar ligament, his ulnar collateral ligament in 74, he missed the entire 75 season. He was medically, he was given a 1 in 100 chance to come back and pitch. And not pitch well, just to pitch.
Wow.
He had to change his windup, basically became like a robotic infusion. I mean, talk about being decades ahead of your time. And he came back, and when he came back, 3 of the next 5 years, he won 20-plus games, and he wound up pitching until the age of 46. Okay? So those are just unique ones. Tommy John was never Tiger Woods, neither was Josh Hamilton.
Yeah.
I know that some people just don't like Tiger. Okay. Some people just don't know golf. Okay. You're not a golf fan. I'm not a NASCAR fan. I'm not mad at you. But I am here to inform you and educate you, because what Tiger Woods is in the midst of doing right now will probably never be replicated, because I don't know how you could possibly go from that and my hands up over my head to that.
Yeah.
It's basically touching the floor.
Yeah.
And then somehow in your 40s, come back and do what he's early stages of doing.
But he
will win a major.
But he's still got to do all that, BT.
A major.
He's still got to do all that. First of all, he's got to win a tournament. Got very close last weekend. He's, for a little bit of this tournament, he was leading. Kept getting the updates.
Yep.
Tiger Woods, whatever he was, -2, -3.
He's -4 now.
Yep, exactly. Leader.
Yes.
So he's leading the tournament. Sitting at second right now at -4. The leader is at -5. Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker holed out.
Yeah,
like he? Justin Thomas did in Mexico a couple of weeks ago. I believe he holed out for an eagle. The only reason Tiger's not leading.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Jimmy Walker won a major. It was Bolt's role.
But Tiger, that's one. You went.
So yeah, took my father-in-law.
We still need to see.
I got a ball that day.
Did you get a ball?
Brendan Steele threw it. I was parading. We had a couple beers. Yo, it's my father-in-law's birthday. Yo, Brendan. I got one. But hey, go ahead. I got one.
I still need to see him win a tournament before I can concede that he's going to win a major.
I just got to see it. I need to see it.
I'm almost there. You got to remember where I was, BT.
Yeah. You were throwing massive
I didn't think he was making cuts when he first started this comeback, because the one he played in the Bahamas, the one you referenced, his event.
Yep.
I mean, it was 19 golfer, 20 golfers.
I think it's an 18 golfer. 18 there's no golfer. Cut line, I know
there's
that.
No cut. Of course he was going to make the cut.
Yeah, but he had a lot of birdies. He was hitting far.
He did.
And his swing speed was elite.
So he started to make cuts. Now he started to move up the boards, and now he's finishing in the top 5. Yeah. I'm almost there, but I still need to see him win. I'm one of those guys. I got to show me the result.
But come on. What do you mean
show me
you
the result? Because I can't prognosticate something that I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if I believe it's going to happen.
I don't know that it's going to happen. I'm deducing based on what I'm watching.
Here's the other thing. So many of these young kids haven't even gotten into form yet. You see it, right? Jordan and Rory missed the cut.
Maybe they're overrated.
They're not overrated.
Why not?
Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy overrated. Is that what you're saying?
I'm asking the question. I don't know that it's completely inconceivable.
They got challenged by a course that they had never seen. Actually, I think Jordan had been there before in Valspar down in Palm Harbor. at Innisbrook, the Copperhead course.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jordan had seen it. I don't think Rory had seen it. And so they were just overwhelmed by it. It's tough.
Rory hasn't really been good in a year or two.
Probably 2 years. He hasn't been good.
Jason Day's falling off a little. You know, remember Anthony Kim,
Vaguely.
Asian golfer.
Yep.
Came on the scene, I want to say about 6 or 7 years ago. And he had a big contract with Nike. Tiki, he blistered the ball, 330. He was a masher, and he was the man. Partied a little bit too hard, got hurt. Basically has a deal where if he ever tries to come back and play competitively, he loses his insurance policy. So he's basically tried to navigate this. If I come back and I play terribly, I lose all this money and I lose all my Nike money. But the point is, and I'm not saying that Rory's hurt or Jordan or... You never know in golf.
Yeah.
You never know. We know Tiger Woods when he's healthy. Man knows how to win.
We know Tiger Woods when he's focused.
And he's uber focused.
Right.
And he's loose. You're still not with me. Are you inside the red zone at least?
Of course. I'm heavily in the red zone.
All right. Is it 3rd and 7 or is it 1st and 10 as Tiki sets up shop from the opponent's 20?
No, they're probably
2nd and 3 at the 17?
2nd and 6 or so.
All right.
No, that would be outside the red zone.
No, 2nd and 3.
Yeah.
From the 20.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought you said 23.
No, like, 2nd and 3.
It's not the red zone, BT.
Okay. So he's not there all the way, but he's coming.
He's there.
I know my partner. He's coming. He just wants to play contrarian a little bit.
I do.
The CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Give us 10 seconds. Tell us why you have not entered our pool. It's too late now.
I haven't.
Why?
Tommy has it. I've submitted. What
details
was the deadline?
In it?
I give Tommy my picks.
When? Just now?
A little while ago. They were made before.
What did I say?
They were made yesterday.
What did I say?
Does it count?
I said they're going to be on paper. Didn't I say
you
that?
You did say that.
They're going to be on paper.
But why
what do you mean they're going to be on paper? What am I supposed to do? There's a computer. There's a computer.
Billy in Oklahoma or Timmy in Tucson or Anita in Arizona. I mean, they can't get in now. Why would we bend the rules for you? You're
a nice
room
guy.
Every day. You didn't even join up.
I didn't even know. I wasn't invited.
God, you weren't invited.
We might.
Yes, it's exclusive of everybody. Ack is not allowed in.
We might let you in.
We'll let you in.
All right.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Nice. You know this, right, Teak? Nope. No, I don't think so. Going back to Cali. I don't think so. Oh, I'm so jacked up with this tournament. I love it.
Isn't this the same beat as Brass Monkey?
It's not that dissimilar. Brass Monkey Beastie Boys is a little more sped up. It's got a similar, I'm not sure what the instruments are.
Secondary
instruments, but a little bit. Not a bad catch there.
I was fooled.
So some have a good palate. You have a deep for wine and food. I guess you got you didn't know the song, actually.
I didn't know that
I can give you a compliment. That's kind of a song that everybody should know.
Wow, I know this is from the Bordeaux region of France.
But come on.
I could taste the vines of the grapes of South whatever.
You are of the age. You should know that song, buddy. You should know the song.
But the intro is it's you know what? Ron, I'm going to come back there in the break.
Uh-huh.
Find Brass Monkey, play it next to Going Back to Cali. I bet they sound very similar.
No, I'm going
to
grant you that. I listen, Beastie Boys.
That's why I said Brass Monkey. I assumed because you never asked me. You know what song this is?
I'm not saying it's one of those songs that's
organic to your childhood.
Well, hey, listen. Yeah, it's true. That's true. That is true. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. See what's going on here. Get a little update. Getting some finals. All right, so Kansas still not covering the spread here. Kansas is up 60-51. Duke is getting loose. You made the observation. You've been watching this game a little more closely than me. Duke getting a little loose from behind the arc.
They're knocking down some three-pointers, and that's running it out a little bit. I think it's up to about 13 or so.
15 now
over Iona.
40-25 on the 15th-seeded Gales. I actually picked Loyola. It's early, but the 6-11 matchup, 18-13 Loyola. And as we chronicled before, Gonzaga moving on, 4-point win over UNC Greensboro. You got Tennessee, you got Rhodey in overtime, so there you go. Ready for a little inbounds and out of bounds?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All righty, Tiki, here we go. Brother, love Inbounds, Out of Bounds, a Thursday staple here on Tiki and Tierney. The Honey Badger, now an unrestricted free agent earlier this week. And when discussing his plans for free agency with SI, he said, quote, not all about the money for me. The Cardinals have now missed the playoffs the past couple of seasons. Here we go. Inbounds or Out of Bounds. Tyrann Mathieu, or I always say his name right. Everybody says his name
right. You said it right.
I did, right?
Tyrann Mathieu.
Is more concerned, that's why I always try to just stick in Honey Badger and move on. More concerned with playing for a winner than his contract
this
in or out.
This is out of bounds, man. He's a young man. Every kid this age wants to play to make some money and get paid. Here's the issue, though. In 2015, Mathieu was a stud, a difference maker. Pat, he had like 17 pass breakups. He had five or so interceptions. He was a for real difference maker. That was his only Pro Bowl that he made. Then he got hurt in 2016, only played 10 games within, I think it was an ACL injury. Missed the rest of that season. Came back. This year was, it was okay. Wasn't great. It was okay. So he says it's not about the money because he didn't play well enough for it to be about the money.
Interesting how you tap into the psychology of one, Honey Badger. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say inbounds, and you very well might be right. It's an interesting take. I just think that he, you know, why would I not take him at his word here? When he says it's not all about the money for me, and that's a quote, why am I going to start picking apart literally every word and say it's not about the money? Maybe he just wants a situation. I know that there was a little more depth to those comments. And one thing he said, I want to go to a place where defense matters.
That's a good.
And that's important. And that obviously speaks for itself. Some teams are built on offense. Mm-hmm. Some have a decent combination. He wants to go to a place where defense is the core DNA of the franchise.
I got
to
tell you, we remember coming out of college, he was like a head case.
And no question
and
about it.
It was dangerous to draft him, to be honest with you. It seems like under Bruce Arians, because he took him under his wing a little bit, he matured a lot.
He did.
And he has a perspective about his life, obviously, but the game that's kind of refreshing. You know, it sucks that he did get banged up in 2016 because you saw him on this trajectory to be a superstar, and he got derailed a little bit. Hopefully he gets back on track. He's still young, only 25 years old.
Steelers and the Cowboys haven't spent a penny.
Steelers.
Okay. And now this is the only reason literally in the world that I'm happy that Todd Bowles is still my football coach. He has a daughter. Honey Badger has a daughter with Todd Bowles' half-daughter.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. When Todd was the D.C. in Arizona.
A little nepotism going on here.
A little nepotism can't hurt anybody. if it helps, bring him in. I'll even watch the kid with my kids if it helps. You got to go practice, bring him over
to our
place.
I live in Florham Park. It's right down the street. We're good, man.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. NBA Hall of Famer.
That's
Clyde.
A random pull, man. It's a random pull.
You got to know your team.
You're right.
That's my team. We don't have wins to talk about, so we got to talk about that nonsense. Here we go. NBA's Hall of Famer, Clyde Drexler. Clyde the Glide. Signed a 3-year deal, and he's going to be the commissioner of the Big Three.
Yeah.
Replacing Roger Mason Jr. after just one season.
There's some odd stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, a little bit.
We had to talk to Amy Trask at one point.
I was just thinking about our girl, Amy.
What's going on?
See what's going on there, Amy. Inbounds around it. We like Roger Mason, but as long as Amy wasn't replaced, I really don't care if Roger was replaced, to be honest with you. Inbounds or out of bounds, Clyde is more suited to be the commissioner of the Big Three than he was a college head coach.
No, he was bad as a college head coach. A lot of it was his fault. Some of it wasn't his fault. At Houston, he was 19-39 as head coach. Actually stepped down.
Oof.
He wasn't even fired. He stepped down. And his reason he stepped down, by the way, it's inbounds for me. The reason he stepped down is because he said, I can be a coach or I can be a parent. At the time, this is back in 2000. And the reason he stepped down is because he wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a present father.
Okay.
So he's more suited to be the commissioner of the Big Three because he doesn't have that responsibility any longer. This is 17 years ago. His kids are grown. He has more time to be a businessman than he did when he was trying to be the head coach at Houston.
Interesting. I mean, I would challenge just how much a college coach is truly away from their family. NBA's different. NBA is just a bloodbath. You never home.
Well, apparently he was. That's what he said.
Or maybe
I read the story from 2000.
Or
I was
maybe
like,
the school said, "Hey, listen, Clyde, we're never going to disrespect you. Come up with something plausible here.
It's more likely
we want
that.
To show you the nice way out.
More
we
likely
love you.
That. More
I don't
likely
be cynical,
that.
But that's kind of what I'm thinking.
That was before they used to say, as they say now.
Yeah.
Mutually agreed to part ways.
Yes. Yes. It's not you. It's me.
It's
my answer is inbounds as well. Listen, I think he's suited to do anything. He's an intelligent guy with an abundance of basketball talent that transcended and went through several different decades. Yeah. The 92 Dream Team, a lot of people forget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also a million years ago at this point. But, I mean, with all due respect to the big three, we're talking about the big three. We're not talking about trying to correct the one-and-done problem. It's the big three. I mean, it's a nice novelty. Of course he could be the commissioner. It's the big three.
Are you in or are you out?
It's the big three.
I hear you.
All right. Right here. You ready?
Go ahead.
Apparently, Jordy Nelson's visit to the Raiders went pretty well. He's going to look good in that. Honey Badger will look good in that uniform as well.
They would. Oof.
And they could use him.
Who did he hire as the defensive coordinator? See if you can find that detail.
Look it up here. I forget who Gruden hired. But anyway, the deal went very well. And according to reports, the two are trying to hammer out a deal. Now, Nelson had his lowest output of yards last season since 2009. Mm. In or out, he can still be an elite-level receiver.
I'm going to say out of bounds, but the question is going to make it sound like I'm hating on him because he's 32 years old and he only had 482 yards receiving last year. Let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers only played 7 games last year. So what Jordy Nelson does wasn't accented by the quarterback.
Hashtag context.
Exactly. All in context. He did have 6 touchdowns, though, which for the third basically wide receiver there, Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams being the top two, actually is pretty good. So can he still be an elite-level wide receiver at 32? Probably not, but he's going to be damn good if whoever picks him up.
He is still a good player. I'm going to say inbounds here as well. Now, I loved what the Browns did, going out and getting Jarvis Landry. Just to connect these dots for a second. But Jarvis Landry had 112 catches, whatever. He had well over 100 for under 1,000 yards.
Good point.
So the statistical impact was not necessarily what you would think correlating to 115 or so catches. Jordy Nelson, conversely, very well might be a 70 reception guy the rest of the way. But a supreme
yards per catch,
like third down, red zone difference maker.
Great.
Depends how you really define the word elite.
By the way, his longest play last year was still almost 60 yards.
He could still get behind
you
a little bit.
So at 31, 32, he can still make big plays, which to your point about Jarvis Landry, who's much younger, he wasn't making those big plays.
I'm still a big Nelson fan, as is Tiki. Good job, Raiders. Make it happen.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, this is an interesting one. Good job on this question, D-Cell. A little hoops for you, some NBA. So the Utah Jazz, don't look now, pretty hot. They've won 7 straight and are currently the 8th seed in the West, all while having no All-Stars, although Rudy Gobert is a great defensive player.
Watch out,
and
now.
Mitchell's a terrific rookie, et cetera. But no All-Stars literally on the roster. In or out, head coach Quinn Snyder should receive Coach of the Year consideration.
The lawyer who got ejected last weekend because he wanted to take his guys back.
Yep.
I'm going to say out of bounds. Not any disrespect.
Really?
Not any disrespect to Coach Snyder, because I think he's great. I think what he's done to develop Donovan Mitchell is fantastic.
Yep.
You're right. But when I look at Coach of the Year right now, I'm looking at Mike D'Antoni, who's done unbelievable things with the Houston Rockets. The system in the second year is just it's devastating. Not devastating, but it is devastating to some opponents.
Most opponents.
Yes, exactly. Casey. With the Toronto Raptors, who get no respect.
None.
They're sitting atop the East by 2 games, I think, now. And then Terry Stotts. Portland's on a 10-game win streak right now. So
Tiki and Tierney Mojo. He hasn't lost since we had him on the show.
You're absolutely right. So there's just too many of the top.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can mention Casey's name, but or Snyder's name.
Mm-hmm.
But D'Antoni, Casey, and Stotts are the ones that I'm thinking about for Coach of the Year.
Okay, we're kind of sharing the same thought there. I guess when I hear the term, Coach of the Year consideration, to me that's not winning. That's just, you're going to get a couple votes. Are you going to get a third place vote? And the answer for Quinn Snyder, if it's not yes, then it should be yes. Don't forget, it's got Lewis Gordon Hayward.
That's a good point.
Lewis Gordon Hayward. That was the All-Star that they had. Now, Gobert, as I said, supreme defensive player. Mitchell's going to be a superstar, not an All-Star, superstar. And here they are in the better conference, hanging around. They're red hot, getting better as the year goes on. Yeah, he's going to get some votes, and he should.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
D-Cell, I joked with you last time that you need to take over the Inbounds and Out of Bounds questioning. You really should, because this is a good one. The last one that we didn't get a chance to discuss here was Kermit Davis, who's led Middle Tennessee State, mm-hmm. Is now taking over as head coach of Ole Miss.
He beat Izzo.
Exactly. Will he make the Rebels relevant? I say out of bounds only because recruiting is going to be so hard for him, mm-hmm. against Kentucky, Missouri, Florida, even Alabama
it's
now.
It's a tough conference
to recruit in, and he's had trouble recruiting when he was at Middle Tennessee State. He's such a good coach. Mm-hmm. That's why they were so good. Recruiting, though, is going to matter if he's in the SEC.
I can't disagree with that, but I actually had inbounds on that. And this is what John Crispin talked about, culture. What do you want to be?
Good point.
Do you want to be a defensive-driven team? Do you need five-star recruits for that kind of system? If the answer is no, maybe he could be. Tough place to win, though.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.